So I'm going to get right into it. I'm going to try to make this as short and sweet as possible with Thanksgiving in our midst and just so many other things going on. Not forgetting, and I want to remind us that it's about Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is this holiday, kind of relate it and compare it to kind of like Mother's Day. It's this one thing that we ought to be doing all the time, and it ought to be a part of our lives on a regular basis, being thankful. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and in the midst of this questioning, I want us to understand that it's to get us to a point of understanding the vitality, the importance of having a thankful heart. So I'm going to ask you, what is a thankful heart? What does a thankful person look like? What does a thankful person look like?
Smiles?
Generous. Billy, that's great. As I asked that question, you stopped and you said, well, did you not like pause and like had to like, well, I'm not sure. What does a thankful person look like? Someone's at peace. That's at peace. Amen. That's really good. That's amazing. That's perfect. That's exactly where we're going to go. I want us to understand something. There's three, I believe, major requirements of this life in Christ that God orders us and God actually directs us to live by as Christians. I think there's three major ones. I can't even relate them to if you were going to, since I was driving for a lot, we were driving a lot this last week, how a car goes down the road and the functioning of a car. There's three major components to a car. Then there's a lot of other minor components, but there's three major ones. And the first one is the motor. The second major component is the drivetrain. What's the drivetrain do? It's really cool. It's really neat. It's simple, but it simply takes the power that the motor generates and transfers it to the actual tires that spin on the road. So all that components that are involved in taking that power that of that motor that it's burning and it's actually generating power, it takes all of that power, converts it to your wheels spinning. It's called the drivetrain. It involves the transmission, the drive shaft, and all those things that are involved there. So the drivetrain is a very important component, right? You can have a great beefed up motor, and if you don't have a drivetrain, what's it going to do? It's going to go nowhere. It's going to sound cool, I guess. It'll be, look great, but it will go nowhere. And then you have in modern day vehicles, this one is the computer that actually tells all that stuff to do when it's supposed to do it at the right time. So all these components, they work together to get the car going down the road. Kind of like in our lives, there's three major components of a Christian that are at work, and yet we seem to think of these components as kind of like addendums to Christianity. And they're these three. One is forgive as you have received forgiveness. We seem to think that that's something that I can really kind of pick and choose and forgive those who I may want to or may not want to forgive. And the understanding is the forgiveness is that very thing. It's kind of like it's like the motor. It's like that which is the thing that we get our actual power from is walking in the forgiveness of God and displaying the forgiveness of God and giving the forgiveness of God. So it's really the power of God working in us and through us is forgiveness. That's really cool. I was like, wow, that's awesome. As I was as thinking of this. And then humility is the computer system. It's that which is, it kind of like, it's got its fingers in everything. Humility has got its fingers in everything in our life. In fact, if you don't walk in humility, the finger of God in your life and the working of God in your life is going to be missing in a lot of different areas. And if there's missing parts in your life, it's mostly simply because the humility is missing in my life, in my marriage, in my workplace, in my church life, in the things that I deal with, in my money life, in my sex life. All the areas of my life that require humility for it to work right, for it to operate and function as it's supposed to function. You guys following with me? So then that would leave thankfulness as the drivetrain, if you will. Thankfulness. It's the thing in our life that we really do consider it as a thing that's like this optional thing as Christians that we can or can't not do. It's like an addendum. You guys understand what an addendum is, right? I don't want to have to take you to school. No? Oh, really? I'll take you to school then. It's something that we just simply add on to. It's an add on to in fact, I realized this, and the Lord spoke this as I wrote down the word, and God the Holy Spirit said this, and he said it very clearly. And that's the reason I pause, is because I need you to hear it, and I need us to hear it. And if God the Holy Spirit wants to speak it, then we need to hear it. Is that many of the people that claim to be followers of me have simply made they have made me an addendum to their life. I'm like, oh gosh, really, God, that's so brutal. And he said, but it's true. They simply added me onto the workings of their life, and I'm just an add-on. I'm just a fixture that they've added on to their life, and they have not made me Lord. Many of the people who call my name have not made me Lord. So how can you, and this is, I'm serious, and this is what he was saying to me even this morning. How can you speak a message of saying that thankfulness is an addendum, thankfulness is an add-on, when I'm simply an add-on? You're basically saying that then there's an add-on to an add-on in their lives, and that's going to be a tall task for some. So I'm going to ask each and every one of us this morning, and I'm asking myself, and make Jesus Lord of your life. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Because without him as Lord of your life, all of the things that I speak of, and all of the things that Matt speaks of, and all of the things and the awesome music that Mike leads us into, without Jesus as Lord of your life, it's just motions. It's just stuff. You're just showing up for the going through the motion, and it's actually having no impact in your life. Jesus as Lord of your life is going to make an impact in your life. He's going to be more than an addendum. You guys get that? Following with me? Okay, I'm going to get back to the message. Can you guys track with me on this now? Because here's what I want us to do, is I want us to understand thankfulness as a drivetrain. It's not something that we can simply choose to be thankful. And I think sometimes in Scripture, even though it's interwoven throughout all of Scripture, of being thankful, having a thankful heart towards God. And that's why he asked, what does a thankful heart look like? What does a thankful spirit look like? You can say one and the same. They're both identical as far as what we look like. But what does that look like in my life? And I thought Billy said generous. Bosco said at peace. Someone's at peace. Those are evidences of thankfulness that I think as we get to that, we're going to say that thankfulness is so interwoven into the heart and to the beat of me as a Christian that without it, without thankfulness, without being thankful to God in all things, which, by the way, let me pull it up. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, listen to that. Let's pull it up real quick. Thank you, Michael. You got it up? There you go. No, that's a different verse. I skipped that verse, didn't I? We could read that one too. Well, I'm going to read Titus then, since you pulled it up. That wasn't an accident. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. And listen to this. He says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. I had that as my opening scripture because I wanted us to understand, and Glenn hit it right on. And, you know, as he shared what he saw, what was going on in the midst of his grandson's life, my son's life, he saw something that was amazing. Why is that did he see that? I'm going to ask you that question. Because he has got purity in his heart to see it. You understand that? He could have easily seen it as, and seen these people, and seen this troubled situation, and seen the darkness as and been swallowed up in it with fear and concern and worry. And don't get me wrong, there isn't that which we need to see so that we could be praying for. But he saw that which is because there was pureness there in his heart. He was able to see God at work in the action of in the midst of darkness. To the pure, all things are pure. We are placed, brothers and sisters, as salt and light in a dark and dying and decaying world. Hello? Are you breathing this morning? If you're breathing, you're hearing what needs to be said and heard this morning, is that to the pure, all things are pure. And you're seeing, instead of the things that are wrong with this world and this life, you're seeing opportunities to love and to share and to be salt and to be light. Amen? Yeah, and you, amen, brother. He said you can't be a light in the darkness. In fact, he told us to be, you're the light of the world. Remember, you guys know that this is, I preach this, and I preach it loud, and I preach it a lot. The light of the world is to be out in the world, not in the church. You're not the light of the church. You're not the light of the church. Guess who is? Jesus is, right? Jesus is the light of the church. He's calling you to be the light of the world. That means you got to go out in it. That means you got to go out in it. Hey, you realize that it's really easy. I mean, no, I said that word intentionally. It's super easy to have all the fruits of the Spirit as long as people stay away from me. I'm serious, right? As long as people aren't bugging me, I've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, man. But as soon as people get in the mix, all of a sudden I am tested and challenged to now operate and function in the fruits of the Spirit to where they actually come out of me. Hello? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Or this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, and I'll just hit on it super fast, like really take 30 seconds. What's he talking about is the will of God. The will of God is giving thanks. The will of God is giving thanks, because I know some people I've heard it being said, well, is it the everything is the will of God, or is it the giving thanks that's the will of God? Giving thanks is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So, and that's why I wanted to, and I believe that to be 100% true, because of knowing and understanding the Bible as a whole, that having thankful heart and having a thankful spirit is God's will for you. Amen? Amen. So much so that when that is missing and when that is outside, there's no thankfulness going on, there's going to be some things that are in your life that you're going to strive for that are going to be outside of God's will, and they're going to be outside of the gospel. They're going to be outside of God's purpose for your life. You guys following with me on this? Thankfulness to God in everything is God's will for you. So if that's God's will for you, then you have only one choice, is to be thankful in everything, for everything. As everything goes on, anything that happens, anything that does go on, you are thankful for it. Amen, brother. As you woke up this morning, he said, hey, I might as well be thankful. And I'm not saying it's like, well, just be thankful for it. No, I'm talking about actually having thankfulness in your heart to God in everything. Amen.
I woke up and he was talking to me. And I swear he was in mid-sentence. He was talking while I was sleeping.
Yeah.
He was just waiting for me to wake up.
Yeah.
And start to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's what I like. He's like,
so how do we obtain and sustain a thankful heart? How do we obtain and sustain a thankful heart? It's really not that tricky of a question. I mean, it really isn't. This isn't a trick question at all. I promise you, it's not. How do we obtain and sustain a thankful heart?
Remember what God saved us. Remember how wise he is.
that's nice, but what happens when my memory starts going? Huh? He says to remember all the things that God has done for us. That's really good, and that's really true, and that's great. Okay, to pray. Okay. I got, yes?
Stay focused on,
Him? Okay. Oh, that's it. That is all it requires. Just be thankful. Just do it. How do we obtain a thankful heart? Be thankful. How do we sustain a thankful heart? Be thankful in all circumstances. Amen?
Amen.
Be thankful. Stay thankful. Yes. Amen. Are you coming up here to steal the mic? I hope so. Yeah.
As a constantly reforming Pharisee. Hey,
Amen.
I am.
No,
I was raised in church. I'm at a bridal party. And here's this drunk that invades the bridal party. I can either get mad, be indignant that they would allow that, or we can love this guy.
Amen.
And old Luke took care of that.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. He jumped the gun. He got in there before this Pharisee could. Hey, you guys got to understand. Mm-hmm. My first thought was, I want to bounce this guy out of here. He's ruined my grandson's rehearsal dinner. And the guys corralled this guy. They lovingly took him to the table. They got him out of our party. The next thing I look over there, Luke's over there eating with him.
Yeah, amen.
And then he had to stick with him because the guy still had to kiss the bride and to get a picture with the bride. But, you know, the action, and here's what I want to say, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't do it, but the actions of this family toward that drunk were noticed by all of those kids that showed up at the wedding.
Yeah, amen.
They commented on, there's something different about your family.
Amen.
And that's what Eric's talking about. It's a choice.
I'm going to finish because that's perfect segue, because here's what happened is as he was stealing food off of our table, right, Luke?
That was Basil.
I don't need this. Basil was walking by like, I'm going to take some food off this, and he wasn't invited. It was awesome because that's when Luke stepped in. He's like, hey, what's up, buddy? And he started befriending him, and it was neat because they had to, you know, one of the managers said, oh, let's go sit down over here, you know, and I said, Luke, you know, now it's time to take it even farther. Take it the extra mile. I said, go bring him some cookies. He's like, really? He's like, yeah, go take him some cookies. So he took him some cookies. So not only was he stealing food, we just went and gave him some more food because he didn't have any food. All he had was a pitcher of beer. Seriously, that's all he had. Anyway. Going into the story because this was, again, an opportunity instead of looking at it as, like, how dare you. Correct. He was not invited, but he invited himself. But then it was super funny because even after Luke gave him some of the smaller chocolate chip cookies, he comes back over to me and he's like, "Hey, I'm allergic to chocolate chip cookies. Can I trade these up?" I was laughing so hard. I'm like, absolutely, my friend. Here, what do you want? He goes, I need some oatmeal cookies. I'm like, okay, great. Here, have some oatmeal cookies, my brother. So it was so much fun. I'm serious. All this happened. But here's what I got a couple of really neat phrases that I want you to hear because God really spoke these to me, and he's very, very clear. Is when we give thanks, there's going to be evidence in our lives of a thankful heart. But the same evidence of a thankful heart that we're looking for and we long for, and people see it and they say, wow, that's what I'm looking for. Peace, joy, gentleness, generosity. That all stems from a thankful heart. No, I'm serious. Thankfulness is not an addendum. It's not something that we just say, well, okay, I'll be thankful. It stems from and it actually comes out of a thankful heart. So there's also, listen to this, there's also evidence of a thankless heart. So let me identify this so that we can identify it, so that we can repent of it and basically just say, okay, I'm going to be thankful. And these things will actually come about. And Glenn hit on it really quick, and it brought it right into. Pride will always keep you and I from actual thanks from the heart. In fact, pride will even deceive you and I into believing that you're thankful with these words and attitude. I thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I am not like him. No, I'm serious. You will be deceived in thinking that you're thankful, and all it is an ugly pride. Thank you, God, that I am not like him. Yeah. Here's the other one. And I have haphazardly said. And even though it didn't resonate in my spirit as being truth, I still said it. Listen to this. But by the grace of God, there go I. That's simple, absolute, unadulterated religious pride. But by the grace of God, there go I. How many of you said that one? Yeah. Get out of here, man. You're all good to go, man. Just go out and go preach the gospel somewhere. I just tease it. Oh, and here's another one. You want me to add another one in there? You guys want one more?
Sure.
One more just for good times? Okay. I'm working at loving the sinner, but hating the sin. Ooh. That one got a little close, didn't it? I know. And what is it really saying? What is it really saying? If anything that God gives me this sometimes it's like an ability to see what is really being said in a person's heart and mind. Yeah. It's a good thing I'm not as bad as you. Not as bad off as you. And and it's this grace we deceive ourselves and cover it with this biblical stuff, and we call it grace and we call it other things, and all we're doing is we're elevating ourselves above. And pride will keep us from being thankful. A thankful heart and a proud heart do not mix. They do not even, there's no way that they can meld together. There's no way that they can run together. They must be separated. One must go one direction, the other must go the other. Hello? Amen. Amen. So, and I'm just going to leave you and the Holy Spirit to deal with that, okay? Because I'm going to move on. There's another one that I believe. Because here's the thing, when we say those things, I'm going to add this is another statement. When we say those statements, we've quickly forgotten how dirty we were before Christ pulled us from the pit. When we seem to put other people at this level of, wow, but by the grace of God, there go I. I know some people are looking at me, I'm going to get some emails. That's all right. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 4, and I'm going to read it out of the Living Translation, Living Bible Translation. Did I give that to you, Michael? That's all right. I already got it. Okay. Starting in verse 11, and this is listen to this, what Paul says to the Galatians. Remember, Paul, in the entirety of the letter to the Galatians, he was dealing with the issue of religious pride. Simply put, religious pride that they were falling back into, and he even referred to it as a being bewitched or being that which is deceived and tricking you into falling back into something that is called works and law that you started by grace, and now all of a sudden you're thinking that you're all that. And you're looking down on people that aren't at the same level as you. It's a it's a religious pride, and it's a thanklessness. Here's what Paul said when I ran across these words, and it only words it this way in the Living Translation. So I'm going to read it to you. Starting in verse 11 of chapter 4, he says this, I fear for you. Perhaps all of my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things. For I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. This is Paul, so he's basically referring to that which was at the end of his days, and he was dealing with infirmities. In verse 14, he says this, but even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and carried me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit that you felt then? I am sure that you would have even taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Have I now become your enemy because I am telling you the truth? Do you hear what he's saying? He's correlating this very, very, very hard truth that Paul had to speak and bring as a message to these people that he loved. He said this, he said, your thankful spirit caused you to support me, to honor me, to give to me, to help me. You would have even given me your own eyes. That's how much love you had for me, because you had a thankful heart that beat in you. And then as soon as you got religious and you got proud, your thankful heart left. And it caused you to do this. Do you see what it caused them to do? Did you catch that? It caused you to be critical of me, cynical of me, judgmental of me. Even to say that he said, now you refer to me as an enemy simply because I love you with the love of God and I've loved you with the truth. Amen. And that's why Glenn and I can both tell you, we've done it before. And there's no peace in it. There's no joy in it. There's no harmony in it. There's no, in fact, you'll find yourself being more focused and obsessed with being right than being righteous. You'll find yourself being more obsessed with correcting people than walking in freedom and delivering God's freedom to people. I'm going to tell you this, brothers and sisters, and I don't know how far we're going to go here, but both are contagious. A critical spirit is just as contagious as a thankful spirit. Do you hear that? No. I mean, really, did we hear that? They're both contagious. That means as I'm thankful and I walk around being thankful and I walk around being generous and kind and good and helpful and affirming to people and loving to people and accepting to people, that's contagious. That's contagious. And if I walk around being critical and, oh my gosh, did you? I can't believe they're doing it. Oh man, brother, just slow your roll. You got to be extremely careful that you don't condone sin. You got to make sure that you're really, really careful that you don't make it okay. We're so afraid to condone sin that we keep ourselves away from sinners. Ouch. Oh, that one really hurt. Do you hear that? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And I'm not saying that as a cute little pun. I'm saying, what did Jesus do? He invited him to dinner right in front of the Pharisees. Went to their homes. Right in front of the rooms, those religious people. We are doing what we do here at the Salt Mine, right smack in the middle of the town. And there's a battle going on. Amen. For this town, for this city. And I am on the forefront. I'm in the trenches, if you will. I'm involved in things in the city that I believe that God has purposely and perfectly placed me. I believe it. I believe it. Just like Cameron, just like Luke, just like you, just like me, just like each and every one of you in your workplace, right where you're at, he's perfectly placed you. There are people in this city that would love to see this organization, well, not go away because they like what we do. But do you have to do it right in the middle of town? Where everybody sees it? Yeah, can you make sure that it's, I mean, is there any way that, I've had this asked to me. You guys have property over there on Flokini Circle. Can you just move what you do there over there? Because it's not in the middle of town. We want the middle of town to be pretty. No, I'm serious. I've heard this before. Granted, I got to tell you this. I'm speaking this, and I'm not, God's grace is good because the rapport that we have far exceeds the religious spirit that does exist. And even amongst other Christians in this community, it's amazing how God has continuously, graciously opened, kept this place going. And I know Glenn and Linda, I don't think they had any kind of idea that it would be like this from day they started it. Huh?
It started that way.
But to the extent of it is now is like, this is all God doing. All God doing. And all God glorifying. Amen? Amen. I want to finish up because I just can't help but say there's, like I said, there's a couple other phrases here that the Lord spoke, and I think it's worthy enough to share. I'm just wondering what Christianity, and let's get what Christianity would look like if we were more concerned with listening to and obeying the voice of God than afraid of how we looked to others. Are we more afraid of condoning sin, and is that keeping us from getting too close to where God wants us to be? I'm just wondering what Christianity would look like as a whole. And I know that we are involved in it, and I got to say, I'm just so grateful and thankful that the heart and the spirit of this place is one of thankfulness. It truly is, because it's evident of our generosity, of our kindness, of our goodness, of our openness, and even of our discipline. Yes, part of a thankful heart is one that comes with, there's a disciplining of that comes with that. There's that which is a part of us that we are very involved in each and every one of each other's lives. And that's because there's a thankful spirit that flows in us and through us. Amen? So then I'm wondering if we as Christians, by simply trusting and obeying and thanking God in all things, as he says to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, what kind of impact would we have directly in our families' lives, directly in our communities' lives, our neighborhoods' lives? What kind of impact would we actually have even in my own personal life? In John chapter 6, verse 31, And I'm here, before we go to there, let me just share with you guys, because I think it's just fun. You guys, be obedient to, and actually be attentive. Have your ears open to God's leading and speaking to you. Be attentive to God the Holy Spirit speaking you and leading you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Just this very morning, I was going to Starbucks to get some stuff, and I walked in because I stole Matt's truck. Didn't want to go through the drive-thru with that big old thing. So I walked inside there, and there just was this a gentleman there, and I could tell he looked like he was studying as a minister for his message. I could tell there was something, and I thought, oh, that's cool, you know. And I was like, I needed to say something. I felt like the Lord saying to say something to him and just bless him and just pray an anointing over him. Oh, that's weird. Starbucks, you know, I was like, oh, maybe it's not, maybe it is. But I wrestled with him. I could tell that this is even a fellow brother in the Lord. And I wrestled with it, and I left. I left. But guess what? The Lord didn't let me leave. Damn. I was like, okay, I'll get back in. I actually started the truck, backed out. I was like, all right. So pulled back in. I was like, walked back inside. And we had a moment, a spiritual moment that was of the Lord. And it was awesome. I know it seemed like that was really safe. It was safe. I believe God's going to, he's calling us to do things that may not be that safe. Amen. The obedience, and that's what I'm saying is, I wonder what Christianity would look like if Christians were, we were listening and we are obedient.
Yeah. You have to stop and say, why am I here? Lord.
Amen. Being,
praise God, I got down.
Yeah, and being, you know, judgmental that other people aren't like me. And how, you know, come on, yeah, brothers and sisters. It could have been. No, yeah. Praise.
What if you blessed the Mormon?
Amen.
Takes one to know
one. There's an article in Desiring God that was written, and I wanted to share this passage. It's a paragraph, and then I'll finish up because I think it speaks to what flows out of our mouths is evidence is what's in our heart, right? That's biblical. We know that. That's scriptural. So I wanted to, the reason I said it in this way, in this light too, was that if we as Christians, I'm going to just say it because the Lord told me to say it about four times and I didn't say it, so I'm going to say it now. If we as Christians were to actually thank God, I believe that the pharmaceutical companies would actually go out of business. I said it. I'll say this now. This is a little more nice. Often the things that pour off of our tongues to others can be complaints of things not going our way or how we've been mistreated by others. Because we are driven by our rights-oriented culture. And if we don't get what we think is rightfully ours, we storm off in anger. We post something nasty on Facebook. And that in turn turns to despair. And often we slip on the sins of entitlement and discontentment down the slope to anxiety and depression. And we can become surrounded by dark thoughts and unmet expectations that weigh down our hearts and put a cloud over our minds.
That's what's happening right now in our country.
It is. It is. We're seeing it. Let it not happen as Christians. Let it not happen in the church. Be thankful in all things. Be thankful in all things. Look at it as a privilege and an opportunity that God has perfectly placed you in the midst of a really, really difficult time. Hello?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Is anybody with me on this one? I'm hoping that a few of us are. Yeah.
My heart is, Lord, I don't know what to do. Right.
Amen. And I'm going to share with you, I'm going to be very honest with you. I am extremely tempted to just lash out and just get angry with with the injustice and the stuff that's going on, and get and even fight back with truth. They need to hear truth. And the Lord stops me all the time. So now they need to hear me. You are the salt and the light. Amen. Can I just ask you guys to do something with me? Because I need you to really join with me in prayer with this. Be in prayer, not just for me, but for yourselves and for us as a body of believers and for the church as a whole. That we would be more reverent of God. We would have the fear of God so ingrained in us. I would be more afraid to disobey God's leading than being afraid to get close to people that are not like me. The LGBT society needs Jesus. Democrats needs Jesus. And I say that with seriousness. I really do. Hallelujah. Republicans need Jesus. Amen. Our president needs Jesus. Those strung out on drugs need Jesus. Those who've committed abortions need Jesus. Those who are actually committing the abortions need Jesus. I can't help but say we all need Jesus. Who am I to keep the gospel from those who need Jesus because of my religious pride? So, Father God, I come to you and I repent. That which you've said is still very so true. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, I was going to add to the wicked way. The wicked way isn't a wicked way that I think. The wicked way that God speaks of is a wicked way that puts people down and divides people. That's wicked way to God. That's wicked to God. He says, yes, that homosexuality is an abomination and murder is murder. But he says that another thing that I think is even louder and more clear. He says, there's something that I despise. I hate with everything in me. And those who are called by my name that cause division. We repent of that. And we open the gospel up to anybody and everybody that needs it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that I didn't have to clean up my life before I came to you. I thank you, Jesus, that you placed me and you placed each and every one of us in a place that you've called us to be salt and light. Lord, please don't allow me to miss. Please keep me from missing opportunities to be salt and light in your hand and your love in people's lives. Please, Holy Spirit, speak clear and speak loud. And in that, we give thanks. thanks to you, O God, for you are good, and your love